Welcome to Leading the Next Generation with Tim Elmore. I am your co-host, Andrew McPeak, and our mission here at Growing Leaders is to empower the emerging generations with skills to lead in real life. And the reason they need those skills, Tim, is because our world is full of a lot of adversity.
Yes, it is. And that's our topic today.
Yes.
We're going to talk about the fact that adversity, we've all heard this before, it's almost cliche.
Yes.
But adversity may just be a student's best friend. We know it as adults, but boy, it's hard to convince them in the moment when they're going through tough times.
Yes.
That this is actually going to be a plus, not a minus.
Yes. Adversity is truly a hindsight is 2020 scenario, isn't it?
Yeah. No
and
doubt.
I went through a scenario like that. I think it was between my freshman and sophomore years.
Okay, so as a young guy.
Yeah, in college, I was a part of a student group. And one of the things that we had to do over the summer is, you know, even though we're out of classes, we were given work to do.
Okay.
And in particular, there were three of us who were chosen as like leaders of the group.
Okay, so you're a college student.
I was a college student, gotcha. But I was a leader of this group.
Yes, yes.
And so we were given a little bit more work to do. And they were going to kind of present us as leaders at the retreat before school started, you know, in the fall. And one of my core struggles, I think, is procrastination, right?
Yes. Yes, I like to say you're not an amateur procrastinator.
I'm a procrastinator.
Yes,
you're very right about that. Yeah. That's something I've been dealing with for a long time, but it's certainly something I was dealing with in college, which is a pretty bad time to deal with that.
Yes.
But one of the things that happened is I actually just didn't get anything done.
Yeah.
And I remember talking, we were heading to the spring retreat, or the fall retreat rather, and I was talking with my boss, and she said, listen, I'm going to give you time to, you know, to finish that work that you didn't do. But in the meantime, I'm not going to present you as a leader of this group at the retreat.
Yeah.
I'm going to present this person and this person as leaders, but I'm not going to present, because she said, I can't put you in front of people as leaders when you don't do the things that we asked you to do.
So this explains you today, doesn't it?
I think it does. I hope it does.
Yeah. You are on our team, and you are always one of the most prepared, if not the most prepared person. I didn't realize it came out of the crucible of that really... That was an adverse day.
It really was. And you can bet when you're really excited about being a leader and somebody takes that away from you, but they take it away from you because you're the one that didn't step up to the plate and get it done. So that was certainly a moment of adversity of my own making, right?
Yeah.
But one that I learned from, because I always want to be at least as prepared as everyone in the room, if not the most prepared person in the room.
Yeah, so I had a great conversation with a student, Alex, recently on a road trip. But Alex is a junior in high school, and he's had to overcome several obstacles in his first 16 years of life. So he's a rising junior. He had an abusive, can I say, deadbeat dad.
Wow.
Who left the family. Growing up in a single-parent household afterwards, family income was at the poverty level. Sometimes below poverty level. He has a speech impediment even to this day, walking abnormalities. It's like I have speaking abnormalities right now. Yes. I love what Zig Ziglar said. I spent all this money on my eyes, and now my mouth won't work. That was a joke.
That was a joke.
Yes. And then the need to work two jobs just, again, to make ends meet.
So much stuff.
Very, very atypical of a middle class or an upper middle class kid, affluent kid. So, but what I loved about Alex is he told his story. There was not a hint of regret or of sadness.
Yeah,
that he had this situation. In fact, each of these obstacles actually made him into a better person, and he believed it.
Yeah.
So at 16, what some 46-year-olds don't get, he completely embraced and said, "Oh, I think I'm better for it." And I thought, "Oh my gosh, may your tribe increase." But that's what we're talking about today. How do we help a student, while they're still young, maybe not yet adults even, really embrace adversity as an ally, not an adversary?
I think that's so good. That is so good. And I talked about some adversity I had faced, but one of the things that we were talking about is you have faced your fair share of adversity as well, and you're really speaking on this subject from experience, I would say.
A little bit. Well, all of us listening could point to stories in our life that we've had adverse or obstacles in our life, for sure. But when I just look back on my years as an adult, in 1980, I was 20 years old. I was diagnosed as a type 1 diabetic, and at the time, the nurses said, "You've got 20 years to live." Because at the time, way back a long time ago, That's as long as type 1 diabetics live. So
it's crazy. The year
2000 was going to be an end for me.
Wow.
But I tell you what, it built in me all kinds of good things. It built in me patience and empathy. Mm-hmm. I don't think I was an unempathetic person, but boy, did it grow up when I was now wrestling with having to take shots every day just to keep my blood sugars right and to not faint or go out. Or
felt like your time was more precious, too.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt about that. So that was a good thing from a bad thing.
Yeah.
So I was fired from a job as a teenager, so that was pre-adult, but that enabled me to identify my gifts. I don't think I would have been nudged had I been doing everything well.
Yeah.
Everything's fine, you know, but boy, I thought, I'm going to have to find something I'm good at doing because my boss just said, I'm not good at that.
Yeah.
I'll never forget that.
That's huge.
In fact, I still have a twitch. I'm just kidding. Totally, I don't.
Yeah, every time I say fired, your left eye moves or something. So
yes. Third, though, I've been hit by another car while I'm driving 6 times.
Really?
Now notice, I've been hit. I didn't.
Yeah, that wasn't your fault.
No, no.
Yeah.
No, no. But
you were just on the scene.
I was on the scene, but I tell you what, that just gave me perspective.
Yeah.
And it makes me way more alert on the road these days. And I know we all need to be, but I think those experiences, adverse as they were, built that in me. I have had curvature of the spine for 15 years. My back wasn't straight. And I think that actually helped me plan better. I won't go into all the details, but it helped me plan better because I don't just move as quickly as I could have without that.
And you're probably taking care of yourself better than you would have without that.
In fact, no doubt about it. And then in 1990, that was quite a few years ago, but I was 30 years old. I was in a plane crash.
Yeah.
I mean, and I know that's very rare for a living person to say that, but I was in a plane crash. It was a private plane, but we went down in New Zealand, and I'll never forget that. I was hurt, but not obviously killed. And I feel like as a result of that, it gave me a sense of urgency for the mission I feel I've got in life, for what I'm doing with the next generation. All of those are just examples of I spotted good that came from adverse circumstances. Yeah.
And what's fascinating to me is I think about our speaking team, we have Timothy Alexander, who is the, really in some ways, the poster child for overcoming adversity and becoming somebody you never really would have dreamed of becoming on the other side of it.
Yeah.
Timothy getting in that wreck and then becoming a paraplegic.
Yeah, he's in a wheelchair, but you would never know it with his attitude.
Correct.
He is the poster child for good attitude.
Yeah.
But he embraces it.
Yeah.
It's not adversity. This is an ally here.
And what's funny is it feels like all of this we've known anecdotally.
Yeah.
Now it feels like statistics are coming out and are basically proving what we what we've known for a long time, which is adversity can actually be helpful.
Yeah. So a recent finding, and this is actually a recent reality. So whether you agree with everything we're saying or not, the SAT, the college board that oversees the SAT, decided it would assign something new to students who take that and get a score that would just color, if you will, what a reader in college would pick up from the SAT scores. They call it an adversity score.
Interesting.
Isn't that something?
Yeah.
So now you not only get your number, this is my score, but there's an adversity score that really just kind of details out for the teacher the 15 factors that might go into why the score was high or low in a student's life. And among the factors are the crime rate in the student's neighborhood where they were growing up when they took the test, the median income of the applicant's household, and whether he or she comes from a single-parent home.
Fascinating.
So there's 15. That was just 3. But the point is, even academics are saying, we realize that it might be good for you to know the context from which that conduct was performed. You know, that this is the score, but here might be an explanation as to why.
Exactly. So a school could look at it saying, you know, that SAT score isn't quite as high as we would want, but look at how high that adversity score. That tells me this student maybe hasn't had all the advantages, but has overcome a whole lot to be able to get the score that they've gotten.
Well, and Angela Duckworth, who wrote the book Grit and has become a dear boy, she's a long-distance mentor for me.
Yeah.
I would tell you, she would say grit is now a greater predictor of success than academics or
test scores.
Even up at West Point, it was the grit score they got on that assessment more than they were smart, they were talented, they were strong. It was the grit.
Mm.
And that's what comes when you see adversity as an ally, not an adversary.
Love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
In fact, Andrew, let me take it a step further. Yale University now uses that adversity scale that we just talked about as a new metric as they take in freshman students.
Really?
They feel like it's part of their success story that they not only have smart kids at Yale, but they've got kids that have really overcome a lot.
That's cool.
To get where they're
that
where,
is
where
very
they've gone.
Cool.
Absolutely. So there's something to this. It's almost like our eyes are being opened again at how important it is for us to recognize what has a student overcome to get where they are.
I love that. Yeah. I love it when that we're using the amazing technology and science and data that we're getting now to be able to acknowledge that the student is so much more than just the grade they get on a test, or you know, so many of them have overcome so much, and we should be acknowledging that.
Yeah. So as I was digging on this subject, Andrew, I found something very fascinating.
Okay.
I say it with a smile. You're going to laugh.
Okay.
But the spring issue of the Journal of Human Capital gave a report from new research from Ball State University. That's my mom's alma mater. And Emory University, right here in Atlanta, and it was about teen acne.
Okay.
Yeah, I knew you'd laugh.
Yeah.
So just listen to this. This is interesting. This is the report. We used data from the National Longitudinal Study of Adolescent to Human Health to investigate the association between having acne in middle school or high school and the subsequent educational and labor market outcomes. How do they end up if they had a bad case of acne later on? I know it's...
Well, I just want to say that we're clearly studying everything there is to study these days.
Yeah, we've gotten everything. Toenails and you name it.
Okay. Yeah.
So, but listen to this. This is very, very interesting. We found that having acne is strongly positively associated with overall grade point average in high school.
Fascinating.
Grades in high school, English, history, math, and science, and the completion of a college degree.
Really?
Yeah, no kidding. So we also find evidence, they went on, to say that acne is associated with higher personal labor market earnings for women.
Really?
We further explore a possible channel through which acne may affect education and earnings. Now, here's what their bottom line they're saying. I think what they're saying, as I read this report, is that if you struggled with, I just don't like the way I look, I got to work harder. Because, you know, there have been many studies over the years that say beautiful people get treated better by flight attendants on flights or, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And so they're just saying if you had to struggle with that, maybe early on in middle school, high school, you built a bit of a work ethic.
Yes.
That might not have been there for the cheerleader or the football captain or whatever.
Because you had a more realistic picture of what it was going to take for you to succeed.
Yeah. My beauty won't get me there. Now, my beauty has gotten me everywhere I've gotten.
Yeah.
But you understand
Acne
that.
Didn't stop Tim
My
anymore.
Face is my living. But I'm totally kidding.
It is
totally
fascinating, kidding. Though, isn't it?
Yeah,
that,
it
that
really
connection.
Is. Yeah. So, in fact, the report was called, the paper that was called, Do Pimples Pay? And apparently the answer is yes, they do. Now, we're laughing, but folks, I hope you see our humanity. We're just saying there's data coming in, it seems like from all sources, saying if we can somehow convince the young people around us that this obstacle that they got right in front of them that they hate, and they'll say they hate it,
absolutely,
might just be their greatest ally to get them where they want to go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And leaving behind the question, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, that's
And
right.
if you can have that attitude of what are you going to do about it, mm-hmm. when you face the very realistic and definitely coming obstacles and adversity of your future when you get into your career and beyond, if you've got that attitude walking in, you're going to be more ready for that.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay. So, what's great is we're talking about we've got to get students to acknowledge hardship is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
And in fact, not only is there life on the other side of it, but that life on the other side of it is actually could be better if we would acknowledge hardship is a good thing.
No doubt about it.
You've got four ideas for how to help us actually help a student understand the benefits of adversity. So walk us through that.
Yeah. So as I was thinking about how do we help people respond to these findings, I want to give you now four doable, and very practical things you can do today.
Okay.
Not even next month when you get ready for it.
That's great.
So let's jump in. Four ideas. Here they are. Number one, the first thing I would say is discuss these findings with the students around you.
The things
Mom
we've been talking
or
about.
Or teacher. Yeah. Yeah. In fact, discuss it. Now, you'll laugh about the acne thing or whatever, but all of the data we've looked at so far basically points to the fact that we are recognizing the tougher you've had it, the better you may just be in the end if you don't become bitter instead of better.
Yes.
So it sounds silly, but I've always had some success discussing interesting findings like the research I mentioned with my own kids who are now young adults, but also with students. Bring it up. Now it's not dad's opinion. He's just an old geezer, but there's some data I'm sharing with you right now. What do you think about this? Who would have thought that a teen who endures years of acne really ends up better for it? And it could it be that acne toughened him up? Well, maybe so.
Yeah.
So talk about this. Get in the habit of talking about findings with your kids. When my son was growing up, we went to Taco Bell. He loved Taco Bell. We'd go get a burrito, and I would give him a 1 or 2 page article. I said, I just read this. Read this while you're eating your burrito. Let's talk about it. And he got used to it. And then he started liking it because he felt like they gave him a leg up.
Yeah.
And
you were
peers.
Also asking him his opinion, which is interesting too.
No doubt.
I think
about
the question of reading a report like this, Teens and Acne report, and then saying, why do you think there's a correlation between these two things? And just letting the student talk it out is so good.
It's even better than telling them the answer.
Yes.
No doubt about it. So number two, tell your own story. Mm. This also may sound cliche, but I think it's timeless. I don't think there's anything wrong with you reaching back and saying, can I just share, let's say your kid's going through something really tough, or maybe your students in class. Do you mind if I just reach back to 1979 or whatever, and you tell that story?
Yeah.
And they go, oh, this is not just me, or it's not just my generation. Now, you don't want to overdo. Back in the good old days when I walked
up. You don't know what's going on.
That's
right,
yeah. But I believe every student at some point wants to hear a personal story from someone older about how they faced similar hardships.
I think that's true.
Yeah. They need to know that they're not alone and that there's hope. Those are two big epiphanies that need to happen, especially in the minute of the adversity.
Yeah.
I remember my son went through a stage where he actually asked me to tell him stories of my past failures. Tell me a failure story, Dad. And I thought, you are morbid, son.
Yeah.
But I think I know why he did. Yes. It always gave him hope.
Yes.
That I was vertical and breathing after all I'd been through with the plane crash and the diabetes and everything else. So it was just helpful.
That's great.
All right.
Number three.
The third one is reflect on positive outcomes from their adversity. I think we need to help them think, what could happen?
Yeah.
Well, they're going to think of bad things right away. Most temperaments do. But if students are willing, ask them to make a pro and a con list of what came from their challenge or what could come from the challenge in real time.
So you could do this for a past challenge or a possible future
challenge. That's exactly right, yeah. So this won't happen naturally for most kids. Most kids aren't like Alex, the guy I just mentioned before, that immediately in the moment said, oh, this is good for me, like vitamins or whatever.
Yeah.
But I think in the moment, difficult situations foster negative emotions naturally. Just know that's going to happen. But if we can lead them to a positive conversation about what might happen that could be good. Help them see what they've gained, that they've gained something from the adversity and that they would have never received had they not gone through that time.
This is, so great.
When I gave my list earlier about diabetes and plane crash and curvature of the spine, I could literally point to things that happened that were good, and it helps my memory of them.
Yeah.
It actually helps, yeah.
That's so good.
Yep.
You know, this reminds me of our Habitude Cathedral building, because it's really all about perspective, of a young man who meets bricklayers. Only one of the bricklayers sees the bigger picture.
Yeah, that's
I'm trying to build a cathedral.
Yep.
Even though you can remind your students, even though it feels like you're laying brick, what you're actually doing is you're working towards something bigger. And if they can reflect, even before it happens, on what's that bigger thing we're working on, it can make all the difference.
And if you do that, you're able to make, anytime you get stuck, a toll booth rather than a roadblock,
Absolutely. Which
is another one of our Habitudes.
Man, we're just spewing them right now.
Yeah, we are, yeah. But if you get stopped, it can be either by choice a roadblock where you never get past it.
Yes.
We've all gotten to roadblocks and said, darn, I got to go in reverse now.
Yeah.
Or it can be a toll booth where you still stop, but you pay a price
and you
keep
move
moving
on.
Forward.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
So good. All right, we've been through three. Number four.
The fourth and final one, real quick, is help your students to see hardship as a mentor.
Mm.
This is the second cousin to the last one, but this is a viewpoint that I think we need to build in our young. And the sooner we do it, the better off we are. I mean, I'm talking 6, 7, 8 years old. This takes things to a higher level enables students to gain from misfortune without your help. If they can do this on their own, now you don't have to keep saying, don't forget, this is good for you.
Yeah.
So over time, strive to teach perspective through critical thinking when it comes to adversity. And while it's often a grueling teacher, where the school cheer is ouch, hardship always teaches us something. And if we welcome it as a friend, not a foe, we end up benefiting from the lessons we learn and the grit that I think comes from it. So
again,
those are the four ideas.
That is so good. Imagine a student who, when they encounter hardship, their first thought is, I wonder what I'm going to learn through this, you know? Like if that was their just immediate response, it could absolutely change the way that they're leading themselves.
Yeah.
So let me read back through these really quick, if you will, if you don't mind. Number one was discuss these findings, the very things we've talked about here. In fact, you may want to play this podcast for them and let them listen. Number two is tell your own story. What hardships have you faced? Yeah. You don't want to overdo it, certainly, or you know, kids these days or any of those kinds of things. But telling your story could be a really good entry point into this conversation. The third one is to reflect on positive outcomes from their adversity, whether that's something they've already been through, something they're going through now, or maybe something in the future. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, number four is to help your students see hardship as a mentor.
Yeah.
Begin to build that expectation. Mm-hmm. Every time I face something hard, I'm going to learn from this.
Yeah.
I'm going to be better because of this.
Yeah. So I recently had a conversation with a former Army Ranger. So, you know, Army Rangers are the best of the best. They're the
pretty
tough guys.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're the Army's version of Navy SEAL, I think.
Yes.
So he talked about some of the episodes and escapades he was been through. He's been to Afghanistan, Iraq, and everything else. But we started laughing together as he said, "Tim, I actually signed up for POW training. It was essentially POW, prisoner of war training.
Wow.
What do you do if you get captured, and how do you get out, and that sort of thing?" And not all the soldiers had to go through this. He said, "I signed
kind of
up,
volunteered for it."
And I thought, "You are very, very morbid." But anyway. So he started telling me, the reason I said we laughed is he said, "Tim, it was grueling." He said there were three phases to this experience. There was the hunt and capture. So we're out in woods, we get captured. It was held in Alabama. We're captured. We were tortured. So they actually went through torture. And I said, "Was it, you know, fellow soldiers that did it?" They kind of understand. They go, "No, it's civilians that were trained."
That's crazy.
I know. And then there was the escape. But I said, "Tell me what happened." And so he described the capture. The torture part was the most interesting, obviously. Yeah. He said, "We were out where we had nothing to eat. We were eating crickets." And he said, I learned with my fellow Army, you know, fellow Army Ranger, Special Ops guy. He said he'd find a cricket and he'd give it to me, and I'd find a cricket and I'd give it to him. And you know, we learned to eat it and be okay with that. He said we were stood in small boxes where we had to stand for days without anything. And I just can't imagine.
Hearing all that makes me feel like I have gone through zero adversity.
I know. Yeah, exactly. We were whipped. And I said, "Well, did they know when to stop?" Because we thought so. We had to keep reminding ourselves that this is training.
Yeah.
But he said one day it was so bad. He said, "I was with another Army Ranger, so we were the tough guys." But he said, "We just got off alone. We sat down." And he said, "We started crying."
Yeah.
Because this guy's buff. He's really, you know.
Yeah. It's hard to imagine him crying, basically.
Yeah. So he just started crying. And he said, "We had our commanding officer come up, goes, fellas, I can't have you crying here." He goes, "Everybody looks up to you guys. You guys are supposed to be the toughest of the tough, and you're sitting here crying." And he said, "Our only response was through tears. We go, 'We're going to stop crying. We're going to finish it, but just let us cry for a minute.'"
Yeah.
And of course, his response was, "Just let me cry through this adversity. And maybe that's what you need to say. That's okay.
Yeah.
Let me do that.
I promise I'm going to make it. Yeah. I'm going to keep fighting. Yeah. I just need a second."
Yeah, that's right.
And maybe that's where the students are that we're leading today.
But that's perspective.
Yeah.
I'm not going to give up, but let me cry through this adversity as I get to the other side and see the benefit from it.
Yeah. That's so good. Well, Tim, thank you so much for all your wisdom that you shared with us. As you're out there leading the next generation, please acknowledge they're certainly going to face adversity, but that doesn't mean they can't overcome it. So be their hero, empowering them and developing them and helping them gain perspective that they need to succeed. Tim, thanks so much for leading us through that. If you would, for us, rate this podcast, that would be really, really helpful. Give us 5 stars to get the word out about what we're doing. And we'd also love for you to follow us on social media at Growing Leaders and at Tim Elmore. But before we leave, I actually want to tell you about a new resource. You might be thinking about how to help students overcome adversity. And this is actually one of the topics that we discussed inside of our brand new book that we wrote. Tim and I have been working for over a year to release this book, Generation Z Unfiltered.
Yep.
It's coming out in the fall, but the pre-order is actually live now. And we're really excited about everything
that's in it. Very cool book. And the reason we use the term unfiltered is we're taking away all the filters that would color or make this idealistic or maybe too negative.
Yeah.
This is the reality we're seeing in kids today.
Yeah. Not what we think about them, yeah, but how they actually,
yeah,
are.
Yeah.
And we actually in the book isolate 9 key challenges that we think Generation, yeah, Z is going to face,
yeah,
and have practical ways that we can overcome those, yeah, challenges. So I think it's going to be a really helpful, really practical resource, mm-hmm, for people. What's cool right now with the pre-order is you're going to be able to get some stuff that you're not going to be able to, yeah, get once the, yeah, book is out. So for $24.99, you actually get 6 different things. You get the book, you get the audio book, you get a digital discussion guide to create a conversation with your peers or anyone else. You get an ebook, mm-hmm, of it. You also get this really cool resource, Table Topics. We, yeah, wanted, yeah, to find a way for you to have conversations from the book with actually members of Generation Z, whether you're your kids or your students or your athletes or whomever.
Yeah.
So the Table Topics will actually help you have conversations with Generation, mm-hmm, Z. And then it also includes the Marching Off the Map ebook as well, which you'll get immediately. So you can get all of that right now for $24.99, GenerationZUnfiltered.com. That's GenerationZUnfiltered.com. It's a really great, I think it's going to be an awesome resource for a lot, yeah, of people. So go check that out. And then lastly, last comment, if you've got ideas for stuff you want us to talk about on this podcast, we really love hearing from you. Just shoot us an email, podcast@growingleaders.com. Tim, thanks so much for leading us through this conversation today. Thank you guys for listening. We'll see you next time.